a car show where the auto executives are watching their Trump tweets. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The Italian car company Fiat Chrysler has announced it'll spend $1 billion to make 3 Jeep models in the U.S., along with moving some pickup production from Mexico to the U.S. The investment will take 3 years to fully deploy, and Chrysler, officially known as FCA, says this will mean 2,000 new jobs in Michigan and Ohio. Analysts see this in part as an attempt to get ahead of criticism by President-elect Trump about overseas production. Pressure from Mr. Trump is a key theme at the auto industry's first big event of this new year, the Detroit Car Show, opening today. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
In recent weeks, Trump has called out Ford, GM, and Toyota, threatening import taxes if they continue to make cars in Mexico and sell them in the U.S. But for now, it isn't what you'd really call a fight, at least not from the carmaker's side.
They want to wait and see what happens.
Paul Eisenstein is the editor of the DetroitBureau.com. Being called out on Twitter is one thing, he says.
It's another thing entirely when he gets into office and then actually has to translate that into policy.
Import taxes would likely mean fewer cars sold in the U.S. and at higher prices, an argument carmakers hope will sway the president to their side.
The auto companies have to be much more vociferous.
John Hinke is president of Planning Perspectives, a consulting firm based in Detroit. He says car companies have to educate the president that
their globalization, in fact, is helping the total population, both consumers and potential employees.
Hinke says there are areas car companies and Trump could agree on, such as lowering fuel economy standards. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
You know how your local McDonald's franchise is not owned by McDonald's, the corporation, but by a local franchisee? There is news today that McDonald's in China will no longer be owned by McDonald's, but henceforth by some very other big companies. The deal is worth more than $2 billion. We got Karishma Vaswani on the line from Singapore. She's Asia business correspondent for the BBC. Good morning.
Good morning.
So who's buying these operations from McDonald's?
One of them is called CITIC, and the other is CITIC Capital, and another part of CITIC. And for $2 billion, the deal will give both CITIC and CITIC Capital a controlling stake of more than 50% in the company, 52% to be exact. But there is a U.S. firm also involved. The firm Carlyle will hold about 28%, and McDonald's will end up holding 20%.
So the famous private equity firm Carlyle Group that many people know in this country is involved here too. Now, why now? Is this a suggestion that McDonald's is less committed to Asia, or is this being driven by something else?
This is a way to continue to grow in China, but McDonald's is finding it very difficult and expensive, frankly, to do that by itself. It doesn't have the resources. It doesn't have the cash. So what better way to be able to continue to grow in China than to basically sell off part of its business to a big Chinese company that will go through the expense and the hassle of actually opening up more stores? And that's the sort of key thing in all of the strategy here, David. They're going to end up adding a 1,500 more stores in China over the course of the next few years. So that's really quite a large number of outlets that you will see open up across the mainland.
Indeed, an expansion. Karishma Vaswani in Singapore for our partner broadcaster, the BBC. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's check the markets. The FTSE index in London is down a single point. The Dow future is down 30 points, not quite 0.2%, 2.5 hours here before the opening bell on Wall Street. Now to a story of a city that's borrowing money to deal with an affordable housing crisis. The city issuing bonds for this is Seattle, where rents are especially high. Reporter Anna Boyko-Wyrock has more on an innovative use of government borrowing.
Dave Thompson and his dog Dennis slept between cardboard walls under Interstate 5 one night recently. He picked this spot so he could stay dry.
It was raining, and I'm not made out of sugar, but I don't like to be cold and wet.
Thompson is homeless, like more than 4,000 other people in the city. He's lived on the streets for 5 years.
I went to jail, and then I lost my job, and then I wasn't able to get back into work because I didn't have a place to live.
And rents are more than he can afford.
On the low end, a rent is around $900 a month here.
Thompson is a block away from City Hall. In fact, you can see it from the corner.
We have a real interest in Seattle in trying to bring more people inside.
That's City Council member Lisa Herbold. She led a proposal this fall to issue $29 million in new city bonds to pay for affordable housing. Other places across the country with tight housing markets are also looking to bonds to fund housing. Voters in Baltimore, Silicon Valley, and Portland, Oregon approved ballot measures in November. This will be the first time since the 1980s Seattle will use debt to pay for housing. Usually, the city issues bonds to fund infrastructure like the electric and sewer systems and levies property taxes to pay for housing development. But Herbold says those projects take at least 3 years to build after they're approved.
And so our hope is to be able to do something much more quickly that doesn't have these same sort of constraints.
The city is looking at a few different ideas to add more housing units. One is to put modular housing that looks like shipping containers on city-owned property to provide housing for chronically homeless people. Another idea is the city would pay for seismic upgrades to buildings in exchange for making some of the units in those buildings more affordable. The city needs to decide which projects to fund and then issue the bonds in April for anywhere from 250 to 500 new units. In Seattle, I'm Anna Boyko-Wyrock for Marketplace.
And the FBI has reportedly arrested a Volkswagen executive on fraud charges connected to the ongoing emissions cheating scandal. According to the New York Times, Oliver Schmidt will be arraigned today in Detroit. He's the most senior official arrested in the VW case. In September, a senior VW engineer pleaded guilty. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.